Bibles this evening. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians is where we're heading. I mentioned this morning as I was preparing and planning for the weekend of preaching, often this is an opportunity for us to have some kind of a service that would connect with our national holiday, Thanksgiving Day, and it's very appropriate. We're supposed to be thanking the Lord always, right? We're supposed to, it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that we give thanks always. So most appropriate for us to consider, be reminded of those things again. As we looked at this morning, and this is really, like I said, the outgrowth really of this morning's message, the broad principles of Christ's kingdom coming, we're looking forward to that. We can, therefore, as Christ commands us, in fact, not just can, but we must always pray, not faint. So, in practicality, then, okay, I'm supposed to be praying about everything. My life is to be a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. But God doesn't leave us without a lot of clues of to what to pray for. So in connection with giving thanks, which is supposed to be a major part of our prayer life, it's not just give me, give me, give me, if I can put it that way. That sounds bad because we can share all of our needs and burdens with the Lord. But we should be in our conversation in that part of always praying. There should be often, not irregularly, but often, I mean daily and many times through the day, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the this's tonight, okay, of the thanksgivings, something that the Lord in particular drives us to in this passage. Thessalonians, both 1 and 2 Thessalonians, written to a church that loved the Lord. It's very apparent. In fact, even in the beginning of this book, the second book to the Thessalonians, he thanks them for their labor of love, for their work and their patience of hope, all of those things. He saw in them a wonderful work of God, and they were striving with the aid and help of the Holy Spirit to do what was right. Yet, they faced much persecution. There was a lot of resistance. Paul couldn't go there because his life was threatened. He showed up in town, he'd have been dead probably. So that's why he wrote letters. And yet they stayed faithful. That was the joy of it. And so he's encouraging them with some things in the midst of that persecution. Chapter 2, and we're going to be in chapter 2 and 3 tonight. Chapter 2 really picks up, again, the coordination with this morning's message I think will be seen quickly. It picks up with really speaking of what's going to happen in the future. Verse 1 to chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind or troubled. All right, so this is the overall theme of chapter 2. He's talking about, and he's going to talk about the man of sin that's revealed, spirit taking away, the time of trouble. It's not going to happen yet. You'll be out of here before that happens. But making preparations theologically and spiritually in their minds for what's going to happen in the future. So let me tell you some things, he says. We get down to let me talk about verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, speaking of the Antichrist, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, people that will follow him, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. All right, they rejected the truth. For this cause God gave them, or shall send them, strong delusion that they should not believe a lie. We talk often as we talk about eschatology, end time events. Why do we urge people to get saved today, right now? Today's the day of salvation. Why? Well, one of the reasons is because the people that will be alive today, that have heard the gospel today, they get into the tribulation period if they're not saved, and they will believe a lie. The chances of them being redeemed them are mighty, mighty, mighty slim. Now, we know from the book of Revelation that a great multitude will be saved. Obviously, the 144,000 Jews plus a great multitude of Gentiles as well. But in the grand scheme of things, can I put it that way? That multitude is minuscule compared to the number of people on earth. So many that will be destroyed by the judgment of God during the tribulation period. That's God's wrath being poured out on the earth, and even specifically, the last half, on the nation of Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. So that's why it's urgent to get saved today. That they all, verse 12, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The condemnation of the unbeliever is certain, and it is not pleasant. We as believers should be moved by that. And again, history always, when we think of history, we often think of it as it's connected to us. So I remember as a boy sitting under preaching where the condemnation of sinners was heavily preached as a motivation for reaching the lost, and I think we've lost a little bit of that fervor today. We're trying to be good neighbors, and sometimes we don't pursue with passion our neighbors and the work of the Lord in their heart. Don't neglect the work of the Lord in reaching souls for Christ. You've got to be faithful because their damnation is certain. Now, all this is, I'm still kind of setting up the page here. Now we come to verse 13. But we are bound, and here's where we start the message. So, this is future, condemnation, day of the Lord coming, Christ's return, we'll be gone. And now Paul is turning his attention right directly to the Thessalonians. And he's going to share with us what he's going to thank the Lord for. Something to thank the Lord for. We are bound. I must. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing description of the redemption of the saints there at Thessalonica. He found them, unlike the description that he just had given us in verses 10 through 12, he found them both loved by the Lord and protected by the Lord. He's bound. He just has to give thanks to the Lord for God's great work in their life, his great love to the believers there. You see, they had been chosen from the beginning to salvation. It was God's plan. And how was it accomplished? Through the sanctification of the Spirit, through the belief of the truth. Both parts are critical to salvation. God woos me, I must believe. All right? Both of those parts are critical to salvation. So, again, there is a response of the heart that I'm responsible for. And verses 10 through 12 share with us that they chose not to believe. And they'll face the wrath of God for it. But these Thessalonians hadn't. God had presented the gospel through the work of Paul. He preached the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? Paul preached. They heard it. God convicted. The Spirit of God was working in the heart. And what did they do? They believed. They responded to the gospel and received Christ. What joy. And he rejoiced in that. So, God's plan through the sanctification of the Spirit, through the belief of the truth, that's God's process. So then God calls to you through the gospel, he said. And the results were the possessing of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer possesses that glory. You're filled with the Spirit. You have a future home. You are one of his children. That ultimately will culminate, that glory will culminate in heaven. The believer to fellow believers ought to be a touch of heaven here. That's the first workings, the earnest of the Spirit, can I put it that way? It's being fleshed out. We gather together as Christians, and shouldn't it be always a time of joy? Even in our sorrows, we comfort one another. That's the way it should be. Christians are a taste of heaven for one another. That's the glory of the Lord, and we look forward to that day when we're in heaven. So now, we come to verse 15. Therefore stand, brethren, all right, and hold the traditions which you have been taught, through whether by word or by our epistle. Stay faithful. Continue to be the picture and the taste of heaven to your fellow believers. Now finally, all right? So all of that preliminary, he's thanking the Lord for these believers. But in the midst of thanking the Lord, how should I pray for you? Always pray. Remember this morning, always pray. Okay, well, what do I pray about? Well, numerous things, but let's not just let our prayers be concerned with me. Can I ask a real personal question? Don't respond out loud, but just ask it in your own heart before the Lord. How much of your prayer life's all about you? And it shouldn't be. Now, it should be plenty, I understand, because you're a wicked, rotten sinner and you need the Lord's help. But that's the truth. So, Lord, help me. And much of my prayers, oh, Lord, I failed again. Forgive me. Lord, would you help me have the strength to, whatever, do this task. But I should also spend much of my prayer life praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ. They need the Lord's help too. And I can minister to them through my ministry of prayer. And so Paul, you can't read his epistles without realizing and knowing his prayer list was long. Now, did he spend 4 hours a day in prayer? I'm glad the Lord didn't put a timetable on it. Here's why. Because then I would check it off. I got those 4 hours done, or 1 hour done, or half hour done. And then I would feel like, okay, I've done my spiritual duty for the day, and that's not God's intention in prayer. I'm to pray when? Okay, you're picking it up. Okay, good. All right? So there's a lot to pray about, and as the needs of you come across my path, I should be praying for those. But I should also, like Paul, have a nice long list of people I pray for. Again, we've talked about this before, but do you pray for everybody here? Do you have a list of all of our names and pray for it? We need to get the buzz book updated again, don't we? All right? It's been on our minds, and Lord willing, the Lord will work these details all out here soon, all right? But the bottom line is, if you don't have a list, come talk to me. I'll help you with the list. I'll email you my list if needs be, all right? Here's the list of everybody that's attending our church on a fairly faithful basis. You pray for them. I'd be glad to give that to you. And we should faithfully and consistently be praying for one another. So, okay, all right, as I give thanks to the Lord for his goodness in my brothers and sisters in Christ, okay, I'm going to pray for them. Okay, what should I pray about? Lord bless Joe, and bless Henriette and Herkimer, and bless Sally and Susie, all right, and Sammy, all right? Okay, well, okay, that's fine, but there are some specific things that we can pray for as we pray always for our brethren and give thanks for them. Don't forget they're saved too. That was a part of Paul's thoughts in this process. But what, as he rejoiced in their salvation, then what did it lead to? All right, thanks for asking. Now we get to the sermon, all right? 3 points of the sermon. All right. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 and 17 are framed as a prayer in the scripture. It doesn't say, pray this. He tells you what he's praying for. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. This is not the whole message tonight, but notice the introduction to his prayer request, verse 16. His focus and attention is on his King, all right, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, he's remembering God's love to us as his children, hath given us everlasting consolation, comfort. We have the hope. Remember the big picture this morning? We are praying that thy kingdom come, all right? We have this hope of this coming consolation, and yet it has effect on how I pray for you right now. And good hope through grace, we understand that it's God's work, his grace work, cross work for our sins. All right, in light of all of that, what am I going to pray for you? What are you going to pray for me? That God, number one, would comfort, as it says in verse 17, comfort your hearts. We pray for comfort for one another. That he, through the work of the great comforter, the Holy Spirit, would console your hearts. This is speaking of the relationship of the believer to his Lord and Savior through the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Another way to put it this way, I need to pray for your relationship with your Savior and King. Lord, I'll pick on Ron just for a minute. He's over here, big guy. He's got broad shoulders. He can handle it. Lord, would you help Ron as he reads Scripture today that you would give him understanding? Give him just the right truth that will help him today as he battles sin. Lord, would you help Ron be faithful in his prayer life too, in his relationship with you? May he get to know you better today. That's praying for the comfort, the consolation that God has promised him in that relationship that he has directly and personally with the Lord. So pray for comfort for one another, and all that that entails. So we often think of comfort, don't we, when it's a time of sorrow, or a time of need, a time of sadness. But that comfort is talking about the Spirit of God coming alongside us and being our partner in life. And we want that relationship to be whole and complete. I don't want him, while he's out there getting zapped by electricity on his job, to forget that the Holy Spirit is there still too, all right? That even though he's got this job to do, he's got these lines to run, these boxes to put up, all the things that electricians do. That's an amazing job to me. They love to play with danger, I think. I think that's a part of their life. So you pray for Ron, Lord, help him not to kill himself today. Help him to stay faithful to his Lord, that he would not neglect his relationship with God, because that's where he's going to find comfort. Sometimes the hardest things to try to communicate and help someone who's going through whatever struggle it is to help them realize they have all that they need in Jesus Christ. That they would run to the Word of God, not to just a human brother or sister. Now, we're here to help and be an encouragement, yes, but I can't give them peace. I can give them some encouragement from God's Word. Where does peace come from? The God of peace, right? I'm not some kind of magical, and we aren't either, but if I can help my brother and sister look to their comforter, they'll find real comfort. They'll be able to walk through every step of life. So, pray for their comfort, all right? And that'll be a joy. That's something to pray for, all as we pray always. Now, he goes on. So, pray that they would comfort their heart, verse 17, and establish you in every good word and work. Pray for their ministry. We pray that God would strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ in every possible, the word is all right? Another way to translate it, all good, and if I could put it this way, all words and works that are good. You see, my ministry is filled, and your ministry is filled with good words to a soul that needs it. Have you ever walked away from a conversation and in your heart saying, boy, I just blew that big time. Those words were not helpful at all. As your pastor, my regular prayer is that my ministry from the pulpit, but also my ministry when I'm talking one-on-one, that I would say the right words that the Lord would want me to say that you need, not that I think you need, but that you need from God. I have a ministry that uses words, and so do you. Have you prayed for your brother and sister in Christ that their words of evangelism would be very effective to reach souls for Christ? Now, there are some folks that are greatly gifted in that work. I've had the privilege of working alongside of a couple fellow pastors on pastoral staff that it's just so apparent that they are gifted with the gift of evangelism. It's like they always have just the right word at the right time. I get frustrated with those kind of people because I always have the right word at the wrong time or too late. It's like, oh, I should have said this and this and this and this. Are you with me? Have you ever done that? It's like, oh, this would have been a lot better to say it. Anyway. Well, I need your help. Would you pray for me? And would we pray for one another that we would say just the right word at the right time? Like apples of gold in frames of silver, as the proverb says. May your words be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man, Colossians chapter 4. So pray for one another. And then not only words of evangelism, but what words of edification, building each other up. Saints, you have a biblical responsibility to your brother and sister in Christ to help them grow in the Lord. Not just talk about football, the weather, what's going on at the job. All those can be just enjoyable to talk about. But your conversation should help your brother and sister in Christ take another step spiritually. Sometimes that means you may need to be used of the Spirit of God to help them see a failing in their life, a sin. Now, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, Galatians 6. This is not lording it over them. You need to have a word that would encourage them to take that next step, to build them up and grow them in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you like to confront somebody when they've sinned against you? Okay, I'm glad you're honest. But that's requirement. Have you ever prayed for someone you know that there's a struggle going on between two brothers and you happen to kind of be aware of it? It's not necessarily your role to help heal that. But have you ever prayed, Lord, would you help them get this figured out? I probably, as your pastor, have that opportunity more than you just because I find out about problems, right? It's my job as a shepherd to try to help heal the hurts, all right? Those things. And it's my responsibility as a Christian to pray for my brothers or my sisters or my brothers and sisters that the Lord would help them have words that would build each other up, not destroy and ruin relationships. That's words of edification, growth. How about for that young believer, words of discipleship? One of the joys I have of teaching the new members class is I get to watch people grow in the Lord. And the light bulbs come on, spiritually speaking, when the truth of Scripture is open to them, basic truths, and they, oh, wow, okay. They're writing notes like crazy. That's exciting. They're growing in the Lord, taking another step. Have you prayed that your brothers and sisters in Christ would be good disciplers? How about moms and dads here? Pray for the moms and dads that are discipling their children. You do know that the world is not a friend of grace, right? And our children are out there, and they need to take steps spiritually so they can stand strong. Quit you like men, be strong, Paul told the Corinthians, all right? Our children need to grow up to be strong, to be able to stand against the wiles. You remember that story, right? Dr. Marriott, when he first got saved, asked to read Scripture, and he got up and he may be able to stand against the willies of the devil. There you go. Well, he's pretty willy, isn't he? All of the temptation, our children need to stand against it. Have you prayed for our parents that God would help them bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that they'll be strong, they'll be discipled well? Would you pray for me that I would bring up Drew and Dory in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? That's a huge, big responsibility. And I don't want to fail. I've got one shot. And so do all the parents here. Let's pray for one another, right? So let's pray for comfort. Let's pray for each other's ministry. Now, again, and I didn't even touch really on the good works. Some of you are gifted in giving. You are generous souls. I rejoice to hear of your service to others behind the scenes. That maybe not a ministry of word directly, but more of work. Helping and assisting. You know, the plumber that comes to the brother or sister's house and takes care of the work. We've got several of those folks around here that do that kind of stuff. This building stands because of plenty of good workers. Pray that those workers will be faithful, that God will give them strength and wisdom to do it right and well. It's not real pleasant when somebody fixes the leak in the toilet here in the bathroom and then it doesn't hold. Pray that their work is done right and well. May God help us in our ministry, all right? And then number three, last point. You say, already? Maybe this will be a short message tonight. Although this is the longest point, so hang on, all right? Never mind. All right, so we pray for comfort because we love our brethren. They're saved and redeemed. We pray for their ministry because they're saved and redeemed and God is working through them. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. Paul now is turning, so he's shared with them, verse 16 and 17, how he's praying for them. And now he asks them to pray for him. Would you pray about these things for me and my ministry? And the application is directly for us as we pray for one another. I'll give you the point and then we'll go from there. So we need to pray for protection. Pray for protection for one another. Specifically dealing with the work of Satan in this world and how we have to face his onslaughts through all of his helpers and handmaidens, if I can put it that way. Verse 1. Chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You see, Paul asked for protection for his ministry, and that protection dealt specifically with the work of the Word as he ministered the Word of God. He wanted the Word of God to have free course and be glorified. You see, the Word of God was being preached by Paul, and he had seen that great work happen there at Thessalonica. God's Word bore fruit there among their souls, and he's asking that they would pray that as he goes and ministers, that God's Word would again. He understood, this is the joy. Paul understood, I'm just the messenger. I give out God's Word, and God has to do the great work of planting the seed in the soil, growing the seed, protecting that seed, all those things. So he said, would you pray that God's Word would have free course? Now, again, some of you remember all the way back when we preached through 1 and 2 Thessalonians, what does that word free course mean? It means to be able to run. To rapidly propagate. No hindrances. That the Lord would do such a good work that the gospel could be spread widely and quickly. Do we pray about that? Now let me point out, we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we call our missionaries. Now they're not the only ones that we pray for, but let's pray for them too. That the Lord would allow the Word of God to have free course and be glorified where they're at. That it wouldn't be hindered and stopped by the work of Satan and his cohorts. Psalm 147, verse 15, he sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. May God help the Word of God get out. So we pray for one another. I've already spoken about the word of evangelism, but let's pray that the Lord would use the word it's given and help it run swiftly, accomplish its great work, and then be glorified. Arouse the admiration of a listening world. The word's dignity and worth becomes manifest and acknowledged when it is glorified. Does your life give opportunity for the Word of God to be glorified? To be admired. The way you live and what you say, your ministry, does it promote the Word of God to this world and to your brothers and sisters in Christ? We need to be praying about that. I've mentioned, just again, practical. This coming week, as we, Lord willing, will have the concerts both Saturday and Sunday night. This is an appropriate prayer to pray for those concerts. Lord, would you allow your word to run swiftly, all right? To be glorified, to have free course. The choir is going to do their best to sing to the glory of God. But in that singing, they will strive to communicate the glorious truths of the incarnation of Christ. The word of God will be read between songs. We don't want it to just be dull and boring and not have free course. Pray about that. We want that to happen. So we pray for the protection of God's word, that as we minister and serve, that God's word would have free course and be glorified. And then he goes on, the second part of really point three. Not only that God would protect his word and allow that ministry to go forth with our missionaries, with our ministry, but then, verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. God wants us to pray, as Paul asked the Thessalonians to pray for him, pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ, our church ministry, would be delivered, would be rescued by God from the unreasonable. And it seems as though he was talking about a very specific situation that we're not aware of now, but the unreasonable and wicked people around him. He's speaking, and when he's speaking of unreasonable, somebody who is unrighteous, improper. It's the only time that it's used in the New Testament. And yet, I think it's a wonderful, fitting translation here. The world is upside down in their reason, is it not? It's becoming dramatic before our face. If you've been on the mission field in cultures that have not been in any way affected by the gospel, you see it real quick. We would really almost laugh about some of the religions in deepest, darkest Africa, we might call it, voodoo, where they're scared of things that they shouldn't be scared of. The world is unreasonable. It's totally upside down. Why? They don't have the truth of the gospel. They don't know the God of truth. And yet, here we come in our day and age, in the United States of America, in 20, almost 21, and we live in very much a pagan society. If you haven't discovered it, Hollywood is pagan. It doesn't promote truth. Now, they'll write a story to make you like it, so ultimately they get money, all right? But that's the only drive there. Our media, do you realize our media doesn't really concern itself with truth? All right, it's unreasonable. They can't, and this is why. Because they have totally forgotten who God is. They've pushed him aside, Romans chapter 1. Suppressed the truth that God even innately puts in the soul of every human. And so we need to be delivered from unreasonable men. Because they come up with crazy ideas. And it can hurt and hinder the ministry of the word of the Lord. And he calls them wicked as well. From unreasonable and wicked men. This speaks of someone who is hatefully angry at the gospel, what we might call active evil. So unreasonable is just like they're so unreasonable it's hindering the gospel. Well, this is even heightened. This is a person who knows exactly what they're doing and they're trying to stop the work of God. And again, I think we've seen it in our day and age in the last several years. We often think of it in political terms, but have you ever been out calling? I've, over the years here, gotten several phone calls. And it's like this, you get it on the phone, it's like the anger, the angst is there. And they're mad because we either knocked on their door and left them a track, or we talked to him for just a moment. How dare you come into my neighborhood? Don't you ever come into my neighborhood again. Yeah, I've heard those words. All right? They are actively against the word of God. And we need to pray, as we're giving thanks, praying always, that God would protect us from unreasonable and wicked men. In our day and age at this moment, I think it's appropriate for us, and I think we've seen God answer this prayer directly for our church ministry. Here we are tonight. Not all together as a church family, but many of us here tonight. And that's the act of God answering prayer, folks, that we can gather together without government hindrance right now. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, you're here. I know that you're glad for it. You rejoice in it. Our fellowship is not just something we do. It's absolutely necessary for the health of our soul, and it's the command of God. And I'm grateful that unreasonable and wicked men have been held at bay through means sometimes that we would not even expect. Again, we mentioned it briefly this morning, but are you praying about the results of this election? Much of it has been already decided. But not all of it has been. This is an appropriate prayer to pray right now. Lord, would you deliver us for your mercy's sake? Not because we deserve it, but would you deliver us so that the word of God could go forth and not be hindered? Would you deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men? Now, I feel that you understand the application there, don't you? Wicked men kill babies, euthanize old people. Wicked men say, churches, you have to stay closed while we let all the sinful activities go on. Does that make sense? And we need to pray that God would protect us, not because we deserve it. Shame on us for our lack of activity in sharing the gospel, discipling people. But may God help us to be faithful while we can. And I will tell you, now that's just a simple application right now, but I will tell you because God is great, because he loves his children. Remember this morning? All right? We are his elect. He loves us, and it is his desire and passion. It's who he is. He is a redeemer. That it is his natural instinct to deliver his children. Story after story of saints through the centuries again, but even in modern days, where God in unique ways protects his children. Now, to add an eternal thought to all of that, well, you say, well, I know of Christians that have been slain. Why didn't God protect them? No, he did protect them. Where are they right now? In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not trying to excuse that God somehow failed in protecting their physical human life right now. No, this is something beyond that. Every saint of God will tell you in the moment of trial, God's grace is sufficient. And God delivers them through the trial. The illustration comes to mind, I don't remember the name of the person, and Dad Potter will tell me. As he was heading to the stake, he told his brothers and sisters in Christ, just as a sign, I'm going to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. When the chains or the ropes are burned off, if I raise my hand, I'm telling you that God's grace is sufficient, that I've been able to sustain being burned alive. Guess what happened? His legs are pretty well gone. His life is ebbing away. And he raises his hand for all of his brothers to know God's grace is sufficient. He's taking me to heaven. I can sustain. I can live through this and live all the way to heaven. You see, God delivers his children always. His means can be different than sometimes we plan or expect. But he's always good and he will always care. So let's pray that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men and their devices against God's word and God's work. You stop and consider these things tonight. Pray for comfort. Pray for the ministry. Pray for protection. All of a sudden, praying always doesn't seem too hard anymore. Well, I got a lot to pray for. Yes, pray for one another for these things. Be reminded, okay, yeah, yeah. Lord, would you help their relationship to grow? Let them know the comfort of your presence with them. Lord, would you help them in their ministry? Be faithful. Lord, would you protect them? May the word of God through them have free course, be glorified. Would you protect that word? Let it bear fruit. And Lord, would you protect them from unreasonable and wicked men so that God's word can continue to go through them to a world that's so desperate. Just a couple of thoughts tonight on how to pray always. I like a long prayer list. It keeps me busy in my mind. There are times with a prayer list that's long for you praying for one another. You have a couple minutes. You know, we talk about stopping, and you got a couple minutes sitting in the car. Or, you know, you're at the, who knows, the drive-up window, which now takes forever and a day to get up there because everyone else and their brothers go through the drive-thru window. Well, what are you doing in that time? Twiddling my thumbs, doing nothing. No, don't waste that time. It's a gift from the Lord. Why don't you pray always then? Start going through the list of your brothers and sisters in Christ here. The missionaries that we support. Lord, would you comfort them? Prosper their ministry? Would you protect them from unreasonable and wicked men? Let the word of God have free course through their life and ministry and be glorified? And see how God answers. Now, here's the joy. This is not in the text, but just I want you to know, because it's been a joy in my life. When you see those answers to prayer, guess what it does? It encourages your heart. Keep going. And God, every once in a while, not always, but he allows you to see the answers of prayer. This is all the way back in Israel in the text some. Verse 13 again. For we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. You're beloved of the Lord because God hath from the beginning chosen you. It brings great joy to see God work in the lives of the people that you're praying for. I've shared with you, and I'm unashamed to share it with you again. Some of the greatest delights that Abby and I have is we talk through a Sunday, talk through a Wednesday, talk through life about what's going on here, going on in your lives as you share it with us. It's to see God help you, to see your relationship with the Lord grow. That's delightful. Lord, you answered prayer. How many times we've thanked the Lord over these years that we've been here? Lord, thank you for helping that one answer prayer. They're growing in the Lord. They've taken some more steps in the Lord. You allowed us, Lord, to see it. That's glory to God. All right. Wonderful joy and blessing. Or you've seen God's protection, where it seemed as though life was crumbling around them and God caring for them to allow the work of God to go forward through their life. The Lord has protected us. We can rejoice. So, just some practical thoughts tonight. Let's pray. Pray for comfort. Pray for ministry. Pray for protection one for another. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, that it is practical, helpful. I trust that tonight's discussion message would be very beneficial to the hearts and lives of each of us as we follow your word and pray for one another. Lord, you've given us great hope. We rejoice in the salvation of each other that know the Lord, and therefore it should cause us to pray for one another. May we pray biblically as you've directed us and given us an example. So, Lord, may we pray for each other's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray for each other's ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, good word and work. And then we pray for each other's protection, that their ministry would prosper, that the word of God would run swiftly from them, that also that they would be protected from unreasonable and wicked men who are striving to hinder the work, that you would protect them and allow the ministry to go forward. So, Lord, may we be found faithful in this wonderful ministry of prayer as we look forward ultimately to one day being before you in heaven together, rejoicing with our dear Savior. May that hope cause us to pray for each other today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, maybe tonight the scriptures have given you just some more clues of what to pray about. You'd say, Pastor, would you pray? I want to be faithful in praying these specific biblical prayers for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm going to do some work in my own prayer list and prayer life to be found faithful to doing that. Is that your need tonight? Could I pray for you? Say, yes, Lord's working my heart. I want to add these things to my prayer list. Yes, amen. Several hands. Praise the Lord. Yes. I would encourage you, get home tonight, write them down, write maybe these even thoughts down so that it'll be a reminder through the week that God will help you to be faithful praying for one another. Are you here tonight without Christ? I have not preached specifically about salvation, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ because we have Jesus as our Savior. We're His child, and that comes through faith in His wonderful work on the cross of Calvary. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior tonight? Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I need to be saved tonight. Could I pray for you right now? Anyone at all, quietly raise their hand and say, that's my need tonight. I want to be a child of God. I want my brothers and sisters to pray for me. Anyone at all? Are you needing to be saved tonight? Anyone? Lord, take your word and do its good work in our heart. May we be found faithful like Paul as he prayed for the Thessalonians and as he asked them to pray for him. May we pray for one another, for comfort, for ministry, for protection. It's in your name we pray.